Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a journey, really, to explore a pretty fascinating perspective. It might just change how you see some of the most, well, talked about individuals out there. You shared an article with us that really got us thinking. It looks at figures like, say, Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Right. The usual suspects, almost.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But not just as headline makers, but as potentially neurodivergent individuals. And, you know, what that lens could maybe reveal about their actions and the impact they've had.
That's right. The piece you sent, Troy Lowndes's The Rebels Who Took on the World, it really struck me immediately, offers a really compelling angle on this.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, our aim in this deep dive isn't, you know, to offer any armchair diagnoses or anything like
that. Yeah, definitely not.
But really to delve into Lowndes's ideas around neurodiversity, how society tends to view people who operate differently, and, well, the intriguing possibility that what we see as groundbreaking achievements might be intertwined with these unique neurological makeups. What was the initial thing that grabbed you in the article?
Well, right from the get-go, Lowndes challenges this conventional way we often categorize people. He puts forward this idea that the, let's say, the unconventional approaches and the undeniable successes of figures like Trump, who he sort of suggests might be undiagnosed.
Right, that's his view.
And Musk, who's actually spoken openly about having Asperger's, that all this could actually be rooted in their neurodivergent wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Lowndes points out, and I think it's really crucial to remember this, this isn't about agreeing with everything they do.
Absolutely not. It's not an endorsement.
Right. It's more about trying to understand a potential underlying psychological pattern, looking beyond just the surface level stuff.
Absolutely. And what adds a really powerful layer to Lowndes' argument is his own personal connection to all this. He shares his own experiences, like pushing back whenever people try to label him or interpret his behavior. What resonated with you in that part?
Oh, so relatable. That feeling he describes, you know, almost planting your feet and insisting that the world needs to adapt to you.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around. He talks about that internal resistance to any suggestion that maybe he was wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
It really shines a light on how challenging it can be for anyone, really, especially someone who might indeed be neurodivergent, to even consider that perspective.
And what's fascinating there is how he links that very personal struggle to the wider issue with labels.
Right.
He talks about how labels can be, well, deeply wounding, particularly when they're handed out judgmentally, you know, through these very rigid either-or systems that just can't capture the richness and complexity of someone's individual experience.
Yeah, black and white thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can see how that might make it incredibly difficult for someone like Trump, for instance, who projects such a, you know, strong sense of self-assurance to even entertain the notion of having neurodivergent traits.
Exactly. And then Lowndes takes it beyond just Trump and Musk, which I found really intriguing.
Yeah.
He throws out this really diverse list of other figures, people like J.K. Rowling, Elton John, Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm. Quite a mix.
Cher, Prince, Boy George, Ryan Gosling, Paris Hilton, I mean, Richard Branson, David Helfgott, even Robin Williams.
Yeah, who, as he notes, was diagnosed with ADHD later in life.
Right. It's quite a spectrum of individuals.
Yeah.
What was the sort of common thread that stood out to you across that list?
Well, the unifying factor seems to be this incredible self-belief, this really unwavering conviction in their own vision and their own way of operating.
Yeah.
Even when the world around them might have been shouting, you know, tone it down or fit in.
Mm-hmm.
They all, in their own unique ways, kind of navigated outside of those conventional norms. And they often faced criticism for it, right?
For sure.
Yet they persisted and ultimately achieved what a significant impact. It makes you wonder if that inherent differentness wasn't actually a key ingredient in their success.
And that leads right into this really compelling idea.
Yeah.
Lowndes introduces this idea that what we often see as disruption from these individuals
yeah.
might actually be resonance. Could you maybe unpack that a little for us?
Yeah, it's a fascinating shift in perspective, isn't it? Instead of viewing their unconventional actions as intentionally disruptive or rebellious in maybe a negative sense, Lowndes suggests that their differently wired brains are actually like broadcasting reality in a way that society, with its more neurotypical framework, sometimes struggles to fully understand or, you know, tune into.
Okay. Like a radio frequency.
Exactly. Think of it like a radio trying to pick up a faint signal. Society's receiver might be tuned to, let's say, a dominant frequency, and it's missing the vital information being broadcast by these rebels on a less common wavelength. So the insight here isn't just that they're different, but that their difference might actually be a stronger signal, maybe, in our complex world.
Wow, that analogy of different frequencies, that really sticks with you. It ties into his point about challenging binary thinking, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How society often tries to box people into these either categories. You're either logical or emotional, disciplined or dreamy.
Right, black or white again.
When the reality is often much more nuanced. And perhaps especially so for neurodivergent individuals, or even just these rebel figures he mentions, neurodivergent or not.
Precisely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, I mean, society often rewards conformity, right?
Yeah.
And it can be pretty uncomfortable with those who don't fit neatly into these prescribed categories. But Lowndes seems to be suggesting that these very individuals who exist outside those binaries, who embody a wider spectrum of traits, they're often the ones who bring about real innovation and change.
Because they see things differently.
They see the world in a more dimensional way, perhaps. Yeah.
And I really appreciated how he reframes those feelings, you know, of being too much or not enough.
Uh-huh.
Instead of seeing those feelings as evidence of being somehow, like, broken or deficient.
Yeah, the deficit model.
Right. He offers this empowering idea that maybe it just means you're playing in a different key. That really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. It's a powerful reframe, isn't it? It shifts away from that deficit-based way of thinking about difference and moves towards something more strength-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you consider how societal reactions to these different keys might actually be the system glitches, as he puts it. What did you take away from that part?
It made me think about how quick we can be to judge. You know, when someone's emotional expression or their behavior falls outside what's considered normal,
sure,
we might label someone dangerous because they're too expressive, or maybe weak because they're more withdrawn.
Right, without understanding the why.
Exactly, without really getting the underlying reasons or their internal experience. It's like society has a really narrow bandwidth for emotional frequencies.
That's a great way to put it, a narrow bandwidth. And this leads to his idea of the new receivers and the update.
Ah, yes, tell me about that.
He basically posits that those who stim, daydream, meltdown, hyperfocus, and overfeel, maybe they are actually the ones who are perhaps better equipped to process the, you know, the increasing complexity and intensity of the modern world. What's your take on that?
It's a really provocative thought, isn't it? He's suggesting that perhaps the very traits that have historically been, well, pathologized or seen as challenges,
mm-hmm,
are actually the cutting edge of human experience, a more evolved way, maybe, of interacting with information and emotion.
Yeah.
It's almost like these individuals are the early adopters of a new kind of human operating system.
It's like the world is maybe finally starting to catch up to their way of being. And to understand the roots of his own perspective, Lowndes then digs into his early experiences.
Right. His personal story.
Starting with being told he didn't belong in his first school back in the 1970s. What stood out to you about that anecdote?
Well, that really struck me as his initiation into exile, as he so poignantly calls it.
Mm, powerful phrase.
Yeah. To be told at such a young age that you just don't fit, that you're not the right fit for the system, that must have been incredibly formative. You can almost feel the weight of that moment.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting how he connects that early rejection to his later decision, you know, to negotiate his own early exit from formal schooling.
Right, the apprenticeship.
To pursue an apprenticeship, his jailbreak, he calls it, into the university of life.
That phrase, the university of life, it's so telling, isn't it? He clearly places a really high value on the education he got through his diverse, unconventional experiences. The sheds, the trades, the stages.
Mm-hmm. Real world stuff.
Yeah, over traditional academic pathways. What does he say that kind of education taught him?
Well, he credits that path with teaching him incredibly valuable skills, like how to navigate complexity, how to really understand people.
Mm-hmm.
People skip. Yeah. Deep people skills,
yeah.
How to problem solve in unpredictable environments, and how to communicate in ways that go beyond just, you know, conventional language.
Right.
It's like he developed a different kind of fluency, a real world intelligence.
And it's through this whole personal journey, right? From initially feeling like shame about his non-traditional path,
yeah,
to eventually recognizing it as his edge, his proudest frequency, he says. That shift in perspective seems huge.
Oh, completely transformative.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about embracing your differences, not as something to apologize for, but as unique strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from that place of self-acceptance that he went on to create Tone, Dread, and Spectral Binary. Could you explain a little more about what those are based on the article?
Sure. So as I understand it, Tone, Thread, and Spectral Binary are essentially frameworks, or maybe translation tools and frequency mirrors, as he calls them.
Okay.
They're designed to help those who feel misunderstood or, you know, misread by the world.
Right, like bridging a communication gap.
Exactly. They're born out of his own direct experience of feeling like his internal frequency just wasn't being accurately received by the societal receiver.
That makes sense. And ultimately, the article circles back to these really profound questions he poses, doesn't it?
Mm.
What is my frequency?
Mm.
And what has my life really been trying to say? What do you think he hopes the reader will take away from asking themselves those questions?
Well, I think he's inviting a really deep level of self-reflection.
Mm.
He wants people to move beyond just accepting labels or societal expectations.
Right.
And to really dig into understanding their own unique internal landscape, their own way of processing and interacting with the world.
Finding your own operating manual.
Kind of. It's about finding meaning and purpose in one's individual wiring rather than trying to force yourself into some predefined mold, you know?
Yeah. And he concludes with this incredibly powerful message.
Yeah.
That the moment you stop apologizing for who you are, for your inherent wiring,
mm-hmm.
that's when things start to shift.
Mm-hmm. Note by note.
Bit by bit, note by note, tone by tone, thread by thread, as he puts it. And that inclusive statement at the very end. And if you've ever felt like you didn't belong in the binary, welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a resonant and, well, welcoming note to end on.
It truly is. It just beautifully encapsulates the core message of the article, doesn't it? The
yeah.
importance of self-acceptance and the potential for broader societal change when we embrace neurodiversity and the richness of all these different ways of being.
So just to sort of bring it all together, this
yeah.
deep dive into Troy Lowndes' article,
mm-hmm.
it really reveals his compelling proposition, this potential link between neurodiversity and the unconventional success of individuals often seen as rebels.
Mm-hmm.
We've explored the limitations of societal labels. That insightful idea of resonance is maybe a new way to understand disruption.
Right, reframing it.
And ultimately, the empowering message of finding strength and value in our own unique wiring.
Yeah. And as you've been listening to this, we'd encourage you to maybe consider these ideas in the context of your own experiences, your own observations of the world around you. Think about individuals you admire, perhaps. Those who've made a significant impact, who might also be perceived as different or unconventional. Has there ever been someone in your life who others might have labeled, say, difficult, but you saw something maybe more complex going on?
That's a great reflection point. And building on Lowndes' powerful idea of frequency, here's maybe a final thought for you to ponder.
Okay.
If you were to identify your own unique frequency, what would it be? And how might understanding it change how you see yourself and maybe your interactions with the world?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about tuning into your own signal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And recognizing its inherent value.